Okay. Okay, anybody got any questions on the one that we did, we started working on in class last time? Yes, no, maybe? Why am I opening? Okay, make it go away. There were a couple of examples up here of subqueries that I wanted to look at that I just left out there. This one is similar to one of the ones you had to do in the homework, in that I am selecting the department from the table above departments. And I am looking for the manager equal to either Stephen Willis or Jennifer Moore. And so that is going to return the department number that they were in. And then I can go in and take those, again, allowed in more than one return, take those and select asterisks from inventory where department is one of the ones returned. And if it only returned one, that's fine. If it returned two, that's fine. And the other example was down at the bottom, someplace, yeah, where I was saying, okay, go out and find the customer number, which is in, wait a minute, I want to get that order number first, so I keep going down. And so I end up looking for the order number from order line, where the number ordered is greater than two. Okay, so I'm going in and finding the orders where the order lines have something where they ordered more than two. And then I'm going back and finding the customer ID that goes with that order number. And then I'm going back and saying select asterisks from inventory customer for that customer. So I'm backing up to get to it. And then these examples, a few more examples that basically I had floating around. Okay, let's make that a little smaller and then I don't have to worry about it. Okay, this one puts the select up on the top line. So I'm saying select employee number, employee name, department number, and something that is going to be the result of doing a select. So I am including the select up there and saying I want to select the department name from department where the employee department number equals the department number. And whatever I get back will become the department name because I have an alias on it there. So I said, as department name. From employee, where department number is less than 30. Okay, so the whole purpose of this select was to get the department name. And that went out and got the department name. And then I came back and said, okay, now show me everything where the department number is less than 30. But the subroutine, the sub there, was simply getting the department name as one of the things that I wanted to print. And then Okay, on this one, I am going in and getting, select the maximum salary minus $1,000 from the employee where department number equals 20. And then I'm going back and saying, okay, select the department number and the average sales per employee grouped by department number. So that's getting rid of the groups. Having an average for each department that is greater than the max that I got from the subroutine. Questions on any of these as I'm doing them? Yeah.
I don't have a specific question on these, but I wonder if you had another example of the equivalent and non-equivalent. I have trouble figuring those out if we have time today. Okay. No, I don't, but it's better that I try to look for one, because I'll try to think in the back of my mind as we're doing this. Okay. But I don't have any with me.
And I think that was oh, this one I forgot. This one is select employee number, employee name, Sal. And then again, I want something up at the top, so I said select the grade from salary grade where the salary is between the low Sal and the high Sal. And after you've done that select, put it on the line as grade. Okay, so go and select that and put it on the line as grade. Okay, so I'm...
So was grade an alias?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, but what is an alias for?
For whatever I select.
Okay.
Which is select grade, so actually I should have called it something else.
All right, that's what was confusing. All right,
yeah.
So it is an alias, but it's...
Yeah, right. Maybe if I put a capital G there or something, that would have looked better. Okay. Input variables. Okay, I would bring up the computer so that you can play with this while I'm playing with it. So I mean, I bring up Oracle so that you can play with it. And speaking of that, I'm going to go and do it as well. Okay, this is letting you bring in a memory variable. And the memory variable here is called donor ID that I have an ampersand in front of it, which is what makes it a memory variable. So I can go to my SQL line and I can say select ID number, name, from donor, where ID number equals, and I am letting the user tell me which one they would like to match to. So I'm saying, set up a variable. In this case, I called the variable donor ID, and you can see it there as well. And let me pull that up a little, and then I can pull this up a little. So it asks for a value, and if I put in 12312, then it comes back and does the select for 111. So if I decide for some reason I want the user to tell me what number, if this is a part of a script or something, and I want the user to tell me what number they want to get, then I can do this with putting the ampersand there and donor ID. And then it comes back and says, okay, enter the value for donor ID. I go ahead and enter the value, and it then acts on it. And it shows me the old and new. When you get sick of seeing those, you can get rid of them with set verify off, and that's later on in the handout. But at the beginning, they're kind of good to see in a way. Okay. And then the one down below, I did a select ID number, name, state from donor, where donor, where state rather. Now I've got a problem, or not a problem, but I've got to figure out how I want to handle it. I am dealing on the top one with the numeric, so I just put in the number. Okay, here I'm dealing with a non-numeric, so I have a couple of ways that I can handle it. One of which is I can put quotes right here, and okay, and then I can go in, enter for the value for the state, MA, and it works just fine. I can also do that by doing okay, come on. All right, I'll just write it. Where state equals, and if I just put no quote around it, but the state in, then when I enter the state, I have to do the quotes. Because if I don't, and I say where state equals state in, and I just enter MA, it gives me an invalid. So those are the three ways that I can do it. I can put the quotes around the variable as I am making the select statement. I cannot put the quotes, but then I gotta put the quotes in the data. And if I don't put the quotes in at all, I get an invalid identifier.
What are you putting in front of state in?
What am I putting in? An ampersand.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't remember what you asked. I couldn't think what you were asking for a minute. So you have those two choices. Now, I like the choice better of expecting the least from my user. So if I expect my user to put in quotes, So it is better, I think, to do the first one up there where you're putting in the quotes and then the user simply has to put in the MA. Okay? I mean, it's never wrong to think your user is totally dumb because
That's your favorite
scene.
It is. Yeah, every
brewer has that scene. That's right. I mean, I've had too many bad users in my lifetime. So if you just have no expectations for your user, you end up doing better. And you're right, it's one of my favorite statements. It hurts. Okay. And I did those examples going down there. You can also throw in a function,
which I did here, and say I want initial capital where city equals initial capital city n. So take, if I type in CCON, get me a capital, and then I will have it.
So you can put in variables to get information. In this one, it's very kind of forgiving about
when you use the quotes. This field might have been defined as a character field, and so I'm putting in the twos that way. It might have been defined as a numeric, in which case I wouldn't do it, and it would work on that as well. Okay,
so if I look at DESC donor. Okay, my ID is VARECARE 2. So if I want to say select ID number name from donor where ID number equals and I'm entering, oh, where I said stayed in, lovely. You're gonna get nothing because there are no rows where the ID is equal to MA, right? So that was expecting a lot from the user and not getting it. So if I put in the 22222, that gets me somebody. And then if I do that same one, okay, so it worked either way.
It worked when I put the quotes around it. It worked when I didn't put the quotes around it.
I got a question.
Only I did it again wrong.
It might not be contained to this, but leading zeros in the numeric field, how can you get it displayed? I ran that across the zip code. If you try putting it in zero.
If you make it a VARECARE 2, it should be all right.
And that's the only way you can get it
displayed. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Zip codes traditionally should be character fields because of the leading zero problem. And I put this wrong, but it worked because I put in the 222, so let's actually try to do it right. I'm compelled, apparently, to type the state in one. Don't expect a lot from instructors either. I did it again, but I am just got that in my head and I'm going to keep doing it until hell freezes over. But it doesn't matter in this case because it doesn't matter what the variable's name is. And I called it, I put in the 2222, and so it doesn't know that stadium was a stupid name for the variable. And so it's fine with it, okay? I should have called it IDN, but it doesn't matter because the variable is just that name. I can call it apples and it will work just fine. So the point is that with the VARECARE 2, it lets me put it in as a number and it works, and put it in as a character, and the reason is that it is a number. When I tried to do MA, it didn't handle it if I didn't put the quotes around it. But it's smart enough to recognize the number and figure it out. And you can use these every place if you have absolutely nothing better to do. I put a whole bunch of those in, and then it prompts me for everything. So I prompt the city, it prompts the state, it prompts the table name, it prompts the condition. And with the condition, I put in the whole condition, state equals Rhode Island. So I'm typing a whole condition, and it's just doing the substitution. Between what?
It's up front. See where it says where, that it has and then condition name.
Okay. I'm not seeing where I've got that, but that's all right. Where's the and sign?
The ampersand.
Oh, the ampersand. No, there's no space. The ampersand is part of the name. The ampersand is part of the name.
Okay.
And when I came to doing the condition, then I'm putting in the entire condition. If I had wanted to, I could have done what I did before, which is where ID equals. But I put in the entire condition on this one. And I think, okay, a double ampersand is if you know you're going to be using the same thing over and over again. So I have here select ID number, name, and then I've got two of these. So I'm entering the name for column, and I entered state, apparently, in the example. And so now it is going to state. Okay, so now it's gonna remember that. So if I come down here and do it again, it just does it and doesn't prompt me. Because if you have the double ampersand, it remembers. And so if you're doing a bunch of stuff and you want to remember what one you wanted there, you can use the double ampersand and it will remember.
When you say remember, does that mean it's a variable that is available now?
That's right.
In our workspace.
So in the with dollar sign, just one ampersand there, then it used it for that particular and then forgot about it. And with this, it more sets up a memory variable that it keeps the duration of your session. And and to clear a reusable variable, you can use the undefined statement. Okay, so if I then say undefined column and then repeat the same one, it prompts me because it has now forgotten because I said to undefine it. And so now I have to tell it again what I want there.
Now, you closed your session that way.
Negate that,
right?
That's right. Right. It's defining it for the session. It's like in a program when you define a memory variable, it's available throughout the program's life, but when the program is over, it's over too. So if I put in city this time, apparently I can't get a city equal Massachusetts. I wonder why. Okay. And so I don't have anything. Now I actually can use the define. I think it's ampersand column. Nope. You can tell how often I do that. Okay, so I've defined column now as a city. So you can define and you can undefine.
So I can say define column and it defines it and makes it a city and character. And then if I want to, I can change it to state.
And actually there's examples of that in the next handout. So we'll look at that. These are all pretty much doing the same thing. And then you come down and there's the define. So I defined a field here called AutoHold, and I defined it as having product equal to cost. Because it was up here at the top. This one where I was changing everything, but I guess I'll go back to this. Okay, so here I've got select item number, item name, cost, price from inventory, order by, order hold. And so it, when I put it in, okay, so I've got select item number, item name, cost, price, from, inven, order, by, and then I've got the two things, order, hold. And so it then asks me what I want for order, hold, and I'm saying price. So I want it to order by price. And so it is now ordered by price. Okay, so now if I look at define order hold, it comes back and tells me that order hold is price, and it's a character field, because by default it makes everything a character field. Okay, and accepts when you set up the memory variable, it sets it up as a character field by default. And you can do other things and manipulate other things to make that different. There's a define command, there's an accept command that also gets a prompt. And those are the things that we're looking at down here. Okay, so if I do this,
I did price the last time. This time I made auto hold cost, and it's holding on to this cost. Okay, so when I say, tell me what the definition of order hold is. When you say define order hold, it either makes the definition or it takes the one that's already been made and shows it to you. And this is cost modified by character, I mean, of type character.
Okay, so if I define department name, I can change what is in it. Okay, so right now I have order hold as price. And if I change that and say define order hold equal to cost, and then say show me now order hold, it has changed it to cost. Okay, so it started out that I defined auto hold as price. Then I said, okay, now change it to cost and show it to me, and it's now showing it to me as cost. So I can go in and change what's there using the define. So on this one, I said define department name equal to TY. And then I went in and I was able
to use it. Okay, so I then was able to use it. So it says define it as TY. Now show it to me. So they're showing it. And when I came down and did this, it used the TY because I had already defined it.
And I don't think I have the inventory table out there. So here I define sort order as department. And then I came in and said select asterisk from inventory and order by whatever is in sort order. So I can do that using define sort order equal to state. Okay, and then say select ID number, name, state from donor, order by sort order. And it's put it in order by sort order. Okay, so I define sort order as state. And then I said, okay, give me ID number state from donor, order by sort order. And since I define sort order as state, it now gives it to me by state.
And these are ones where I played around with that. Then we have the except. And except, the nice thing about except is that it gives an actual prompt. You can actually have it give a prompt so that you can give the user more information about what you want them to answer. So the except lets you do a prompt. Okay. So here I started out and I had department name and I had set it equal to TY. And now I'm saying except department name. Back and doesn't really give me anything because it doesn't give me a prompt unless I tell it to. And it, I put in BK and then I said define department name and it's now BK. Then I said okay, accept department name. Prompt, put out this prompt. So when I execute that, the prompt comes up and I put in SP and now I'm within department name and it's now changed. So I had department name and I changed it two times, once using just a plain except and once using an except with a prompt, okay? And obviously that's a good way to do it if you have a prompt that you would like to clarify to the user what they want to enter. And on this one, I also
changed it and made it a number. So I said, accept new report number, and then the prompt. And so when it saved it with the 25 where you put in, instead of the character, you put a number. So I can actually tell it to save it in a different type if I do that. And the one below, I got really carried away and said a number and gave it a particular format
and so that I would get a decimal number.
So those are variables. Okay, the next thing I want to look at is table maintenance revisited again or whatever. And this has a few things on it that are good. For one thing, if I have a table, and I want to insert something into the table, so I've got donor, I'm going to create a copy. Create donor play as select asterisk from donor. Okay, create table. Okay, so now I've got a copy of that table that I can play with. Okay, as opposed to messing up my donor table, I've got a copy of it that I can play with. And so I'm looking at a DESC of it. Okay, so I am going to insert and I'm looking for the example of that. Oh, I actually don't see it. Okay, I can do an insert, and I can say I want to insert ID number, name, city, state into I'm supposed to do it the other way. Insert into table, and I am going to, and I list the columns. So I'm inserting into donor. You can tell how often I do this. ID number, name, city, state. And then put the values that I want, which are 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, John Doe.
You put 2 5.
Thank you. So now I got a 5, 5, 6, 7, 8. Thank you. And it created a row. And so if I now do a select asterisk from donor play, okay, there's the last row, and it's only got those 4 fields in it. Okay, so what that does for me is if I don't want to put in an entire record, it gives me the option of listing the fields that I want to enter and not having to write null or quote or whatever for all the other fields that I really don't have anything to put into them. I can just say insert into and pick the fields that I want to put data into. Okay? Because the ordinary insert is going to require something that goes into every single field. And this one makes it a little easier if you really don't want to put something in every single field. Dave, you look confused.
Yeah. What's the other insert? What am I missing here?
What?
Was it different? I have to go back and look at it.
Because you usually you just say insert into the table name values, and then you list something for everything, every single field.
Yeah.
Okay. So you don't tell it that you're using specific fields, so it assumes you're using every field. So you have to have the values, a value, for every single field. okay? But if you don't want to use every single field, then if you list the fields you want to put data into, then it will say, okay, that goes into ID, that goes into name, that goes into city, that goes into state.
All right, now I get what you're saying. What's
okay. So that, and all the other fields, I just didn't put anything in. And when you look at the output, there's nothing in street address, nothing in any of these, because I didn't put anything
in. I wasn't looking at that, so now I get it. Because normally we wouldn't just put the parentheses there or anything in it. We just automatically assume the regular insert would assume we would put it on field.
That's right, exactly. Okay. And you can also use, if you wanted to use it the other way, which is the way, you can put null into fields where you don't want to put something. So if you want to list them all, you can put null into the fields where you don't want to put something. Mm-hmm. And then it's just empty. But, you know, lots of times it's easier to just list the fields that you want to put the stuff into. So it's an option. You can have an insert like this, which is actually kind of nice if you're inserting a bunch of records and you can just keep rerunning the insert. And so I've got an insert and I've got all of the fields that I want to put things into. It will come up and prompt me for each one rather than typing the whole thing out. Get it for tranche for each one. And, you know, that makes life a little bit easier when you're doing a bunch of inserts. Okay.
Unless you can get it wrong and you're going to do the whole thing over again.
That's right. So this one, you know, just prompts you to enter the piece of data that you want. And notice I had apparently all of these will be a care fields. So I've got quotes around everything. Oh no, user cost and price were numbers. But the rest I've got the quotes around, and I therefore don't have to enter the quotes down here when I'm putting them in, which is as far as I'm concerned, or the best part of it, because I stopped with the self-taught typing course before you got the special characters. So I still have to look to find special characters.
Alright, I got a question. I might be jumping, but can you insert something into multiple tables that use the same, like user ID if it was on like donor, donation?
I'm not gonna say no, I'm gonna say I don't know how. That's a good question. I kind of suspect that the answer is no, because I think it would end up confusing life too much. And keeping track of how you're going to put it into multiple tables. So my guess is no, but I have never looked to see if there is a yes to that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would that be like almost the same as making like one cell table and then just associating it to the rest of them?
I don't understand.
Like if you want to put information in a bunch of tables, couldn't you just take one, like the way you join tables, you just make one and then join it to a lot of them?
Again, I don't think so.
No.
But I'm willing to look it up and try to see. But they're very, very protective of putting data in and updating data and deleting data. And my suspicion is that they would make you go into doing a script if you wanted to do things like that. You can end in a script, you can end up doing it. And the later part of this course, we look at something called PLSQL, which is the programming language for SQL. And that gives you the flexibility to do any of those kinds of things because you're writing an entire program. And you're taking all of the SQL that we're learning and putting it into a program. And so if you wanted to insert into two records at the same time, you'd still have to have two insert commands, but they'd be inside the program, so they'd be done simultaneously. So that's what's the way I think of, but feel free to research. I have a library of Oracle that goes approximately that far in my thing, and I only have part of it, so this could well be something out there. So we did that part. Okay, this is how you can take rows from another table. I have the table maintain, and then I have a table where I want to take information from maintain and put it into another table.
So this is kind of along the lines that you were talking about. But I'm saying insert into move main, item number, and here I made a mistake and I left it just so you can see. I said insert into move main.
Let me see if I can, no, I'm not going to be able to bring it all up.
Okay, insert into move main. And then I said go back to maintain and select ID number, item name, price, and cost. So I'm saying insert those into move main. Now I got a problem because I put price here and price is going to go into the third field. And I put cost here. Cost is going to go into the fourth field. So I've essentially reversed price and cost, which is not a good plan. And you can see that it cost me $20 to get a 20 teddy bear, but I sell it for 18.
That ratio doesn't
go. I'm not doing too well. I just got fired is what happened. And the dump truck is $15.95 and I'm selling it for 14 something. So you have to be careful when you're doing this, and I actually left this example because I think it makes the point that you have to be careful. And I did it only for records where price is greater than 15. So I'm taking and inserting into move main
all of those four fields from the table. But again, because I changed the order when I wrote that, I ended up getting bad data because the data got flipped. Okay. And on this one, I picked certain fields that I wanted to put in.
Said insert into move main just into those three fields, and I want to take the ID, the name, the price, so I did that one right. Okay, so that got the ID number, the name, the price, but I didn't put the cost in there because I didn't choose to.
Okay, so then I went in and I altered the table move main and I added an item department for characters of two.
And so I want to fill that field. And so I said, okay, go and update move main. Set item department equal to. And I went back to maintain and said select the department where ID number equals 123, and I'm changing the record where item num equals 234. So for some reason, that's the one I wanted to do.
Okay. But I've got a select in there that went and got some data. That's basically the set is getting some data from a select that is bringing back a department that I'm going to put in that department number. And I'm doing it only for the record where the item number is equal to 234. So that's the only record I'm doing it for. Okay. But that shows that select can be used inside the up update to go to another table and get some information from the other table and use it. Okay, and I did another one where I did that as well. And then the delete statement lets me delete all records. In this case, I deleted all records where cost is less than 8. And we've looked at the delete before. Okay, this is commit, rollback, and save point.
And this is a nice thing if you are playing around with something. Commit, as you know, commits what you have done. So the things that you have done to the table, etc., are committed.
You can use a rollback to roll back something you did. Okay, so I am here. I said
a delete. So I said delete from maintain, where ID number equals select the item number from move main, where item name equals blocks. And it deleted one record. So I deleted the record that had blocks in it. Then I did a rollback, and the rollback brought it back. Okay. So the rollback brings it back, and I now have the record in there. Okay.
So if I go in and I try to add a record, okay, so I'm going to do a commit, and I've completed the commit, and now I'm going to do, let's see, this is record 55678. So I'm going to delete from donor play where ID number equals 55678. Okay, so I have now deleted that record. So if I do a select here, the record is gone. If I can spell. Okay, so the record's gone. I'm back to 6 records. So now I am going to do a rollback. And now I will do the select asterisk. And I'm back to having my 7th record. Okay, so I deleted it, now I do the rollback, and it brings it back to me.
Now the problem is that if I keep doing, or if I do a rollback, I notice I very carefully did a commit before I started this, because I didn't want to roll back everything I had done. Okay,
so the point is that when you're dealing with a rollback, you can set up a save point. So the save point allows you to serve save points that can be points you roll back to.
So basically, before you're gonna do something that is kind of iffy, you can put in a save point. Then you can try it, and if it doesn't work, you can roll back to that save point. as opposed to rolling back everything, you can just roll back to that safe room.
Okay. And that really is very helpful. Okay, so if you come down here, I set up a save point called date update, and then I did a delete.
Okay, and I then did a rollback to the date update. So you can set a save point and just roll back to that. Take a few minutes and play around with this rollback and save.
If you have the computer up and just try doing a rollback and try doing a save point and a few things like that.
Well,
just a minute until I stop sneezing. Only one, that's pretty good. You're saying two or three. Yeah.
Do the safe points still work if they're before a commit?
No. I think that... I think a commit commits everything, and then I don't think you can... I think you can go back to the save point and do everything that... was if you did a commit and then did something, then it would work. So I think it works in that sense that you can go back to the save point and not go to things before the save point, but you've already committed them, so I'm not sure that's practical.
Yeah,
so
commit's basically like a cutoff line, so you can't go behind it.
Yeah, no, once you commit, you're not supposed to be able to, because that's what a commit is supposed to do for you, is permanentize it. Glad to hear it, because it shouldn't. Okay, the next one is continuation of table maintenance, is it again, or whatever. Clearly I ran out of names to call things. This one talks about the table dictionary, basically, that keeps track of a lot of things. And an object table. And the object table, which you can pull out, for example, the object name, which is the table name, basically, if it's a table. But there's a bunch of different objects. So this is
about the object name, the fullness, the object height, this table, and the date that it was created.
Okay, so I can pull that out if I am looking for something in particular. And I can go in there and go for just a certain object type. So I can have a where on the object type that will just get me tables, for example. I don't think I went any further than, oh yeah, I've got an index in there.
So if you set up indexes, it will show up in the object table. You've got an index going on there. I'm sure I have views in there. So I have a bunch of stuff that you can see if you go in.
So, and if you go into CAT, that's another place, the user catalog, which gets you CAT. So if I say select asterisk from CAT, it gives me the table name and the table type. So I've got a load of views in there, which we haven't really looked at. I've got a bunch of tables in there. I've got a sequence in there. I'm sure there's some indexes someplace, or I would think there would be, but maybe this one doesn't show indexes. But essentially, that shows me what I've got, okay? And so I can go and search and see what tables I have out there. You can see the donut play table that I just created is now out there as a table. So I can go and see what's there. Okay, and if I just want to, yeah, right. I can say select table name from CAT. Wait a minute. I think these have to be capitalized. And we'll experiment with that. And if I type that in lowercase, nope, it still gave it to me. There are a few places when you are dealing with what ifs got stored that it's case sensitive. And so if you, this one worked either way, I could try it both ways. But if you find that you get no response and you think you should, it's probably because it wants it to be caps.
Okay. So from cat, that's like all of your stuff.
Yes.
It's like mine is giving me something different.
That's right, right.
If you do the object, it's giving me all of the same tables in here too.
Okay, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so the object table is giving you stuff they set up too?
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting. Okay. Select. What was it called? Object?
I did describe user objects. And when it comes up, it's going to be like Oracle maintain.
So if you did select object name, and obviously I didn't have caps on these, so this one works all right. Okay, I got 89 rows there, whereas I got 75 before. Now, what are you seeing in there that's interesting? I've got too much stuff. Because the stuff I'm seeing is all stuff I think I've created.
I did describe your statement on mine. Well, I wrote down, it was like Oracle maintain.
Okay, but describe. Okay, what did you do?
Describe user objects. I just type that in to see what it would give me.
Okay. And it gave you more than I have?
A lot.
Okay. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So apparently they've added some stuff since the last... Oh, no, I actually... No, they either added some stuff or I didn't do a very good copy and paste, one or the other.
All right. That's what I was looking at.
Because this is different than that.
Yeah.
But it looks like they've added more stuff. Sub-object name, whatever. Object ID... Yeah.
When I selected from the catalog, I had like three bin tables where it's just like bin followed by a bunch of random characters.
Okay.
Is that normal or is that something?
I didn't see any of those, but apparently they put. Are other people seeing that? I don't know what they're putting in your directories.
Right.
When they create your directory, I don't know what they're putting in your directory. So I'm assuming anything that you didn't put there. They put there when they were doing the create. Okay, so those are some of the things that you can get there. And I like the select asterisks from cat because I can actually remember that name as opposed to whenever it is a name that has an underscore between two words, I have a tendency to reverse the two words about 50% of the time, so I like it when it is a straight thing like this. Okay. Here is a default that you can set. So I have a department character 2, and I set default to CI. Okay? So at that point, if nothing is entered, it defaults to CI. So down here, I did and insert, okay, and I said insert into test one the ID number and the name. And when you look at the result of this, you've got the ID number and the name, but you've also got CI, and that's because the default of CI got entered in, and there's Dateify default systems date, so the systems date got put in. So you can have a default, so if the vast majority of students that take this course are CI majors, and you know, I don't want to have to type that in all the time, I can have it default to CI, and then I only have to type in somebody that's not a CI major. Okay, and the default of the date is one that you use a lot because if you're entering a lot of things in, the date is the date of entry. And so you want the date to go in that you entered it rather than typing the date. You can just say put in the sys date and it will put in the sys date for you. And we have done this before, the create table that I as, and so you can create a whole new table, but as I'm creating, I can make changes to it. So I said price plus one. So I'm making changes. It's not going to be an exact copy. I'm making a change to it, and I'm only doing records where the cost is greater than 10. So you can make copies, but you can kind of work on them. To drop a table, the drop table command drops a table, which removes the definition of the table and all data in the table. It's not reversible. Okay? So be very careful before you do that, because it's not reversible. And you can rename a table if you want to, or actually rename test 12 to test 2.
So you can rename a table if you do. I'm paranoid, so I don't usually do that. I usually create another copy with a new name. But
that's because I've got far too much backup of my life, and so I get paranoid and don't do that. But feel free. When I finish this class, I'll leave the copies of the notes in four different places. And it was good, because I forgot the discs the other day, and I could go to my end drive at home and get them, but I leave them in far too many places. Okay, the truncate statement removes all of the rows in the table and releases the storage space. The delete is, which is what we've used, removes the things. It can be rolled back, but it doesn't free up the storage. Okay. So when we're talking about tables with 10 things, who cares? But if you're talking about tables with 100,000 things in it, and you decide to get rid of it, you may want to do it so that you release the space. And the alter, you've already looked at. And the comment command allows you to just put in a comment. So, we are done, and the timing is perfect. Okay, there are PowerPoints to go with these things. I don't know, have anybody ever looked at the PowerPoints? Yeah. That go with these and explain them too, so take a look at them if you... I've stopped worrying about you. At the beginning I was worried about you. You know more than... You look more than it was immediately... yeah. Okay. You look like you're not getting any sleep.
Yeah, it's just
Okay. Yeah, no, you look, every day you look absolutely exhausted,
yeah.
So.
Every day there's something.
Wonderful. Okay, that's fine.
I do just have a question about the home. It says the tables are available on Oracle. Does that mean they're like available for download or?
Yeah, no, not the, yeah, EMP. You mean the EMP table and those tables?
Yeah, well, like yeah. Sales grade, because we have.
Right, if you go and look for that, just do a search for it and you'll find a place where you can basically.
Yeah, online.
What you get is a script.
Right.
That you can then go and create it.
Okay, so they have those on like,
yeah,
through Oracle?
Yeah, they're all over the place.
Yeah, because I was looking it up, and it seemed like it was just like a default, like common knowledge to
yeah,
people that Oracle has like databases.
That's right. And you just can take the, they're in a script, and you just take the script, copy and paste the script, run the script, and it will create the table for you.